Have you guys here? So you just saw Henning standing in Nudia's clothes, helping out in a sense. So I'm Carl, standing in Reinhold's shoes. Friday, about 5 o'clock, I was in town with my boys, and Reinhold said to me he has to go to Rundu urgently for work, and he was supposed to preach on the Sunday, as you saw in the weekly. So I'm helping him out, my brother. Now, there's one guy in this world that I know will lay down his life for the church, then it's Reinhold. So we bless him and we honor him and we trust that everything is going well with him on his way to Rundu tomorrow morning very early. So I just want to say the past week has really been a blessing. It was really awesome. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, we had the prayer and the fast. Many of you guys made it to one of the evenings. And I think just the corporate prayer, you know, coming together, listening to everyone's hearts and faith. Every night there was about close to 20 people, and that was just such a blessing to just listen to the life that was there. So to me, it really meant a lot. I believe we should encourage each other, and we should run this race, that we can be faithful in that, we can put our trust in God, can have a big expectation. What happened to the Oros, Kurnai? Thanks for the water. I appreciate it a lot. So, it's really a place where we need to put out our faith and trust. And as I just spoke to someone before church, you know, he said to me, it's so important that we stay focused, that we stay, keep our eyes on the right things, what God is showing us and what we need to do. I was, I think on Friday or Thursday, I was using the internet to speak to one of my friends in South Africa, also a pastor, and he's at one of the coastal churches, so they work through the holidays when we guys take a break. And now early in January, they had a bit of a break, and we were just talking and, you know, asking each other a few questions. We were actually in school together as well. It's really nice to speak to him after so many years. And he just said, you know, he's so fed up in the sense of playing church, you know, and he's just looking forward to this year and just to see God's power in changing him and his wife, their family, changing people around him. And I said to him, I think most of us feel like that, you know. I think most of us, we see the challenges around us in the world, and I think all of us say, God, we want to see your power. We want to see the faithfulness who you are, and we know that God is faithful, and he wants to use us. And I believe if most of us here live another 30, 40, 50 maybe years, I'm not sure how things will look in future, you know, I'm really convinced that we will see God in amazing ways, because there's huge clouds of darkness in many ways around us. But we know that God isn't afraid. God isn't scared. We know the times that we live in. And I think just God is going to raise us up, the bigger church, and we're going to see beautiful things. We're going to see amazing things. And as I said, to me personally, it really meant so much, the prayer and fast that we had this week together with the rest of the family, coming together, listening to you guys. Some people were there hungry, some were there pregnant, some were there tired, but it's awesome. You came to pray, and I love it. It really blessed me a lot. Now, I want to call worry and friends forward together. As I said, maybe sometimes it's a good thing to not have a whole week to prepare for a sermon. So if you have a little bit less time, you ask other guys to help you out a little bit. So worry is going to do something, worry and Penu. They're going to do something very important. They're going to stand here. Now, pretend now they are living in the year about 5,000, 6,000, 10,000 BC. I'm not sure when exactly it was, but they're going to, something amazing is going to happen right now. So you're just going to have to look. They are these two gentlemen, and they're very clever guys. So that's why I asked them. Something amazing is going to happen now.
Used to wonder, my father, sorry, I'm going to start again. Nobody, my father the other day was speaking to me, and he said, there's so many things in this world they're not discovered yet. I was wondering, like, I know wood is discovered, trees are discovered, rain is discovered, fire, so many other things are discovered. But I was just to wonder, like, what does it mean with that? Do you know, do you perhaps know anything?
No, not at all. But how can we know what is discovered and what is not discovered?
One day, but yeah, well, I wonder what this thing is, you know. I was just thinking, just playing with the other, I just found it in the woods, just thinking, what does it do? Hey? It's yellow and black and a few red things on it.
Maybe another discovery. What is it?
Blazes. It's radiant.
What should we do with it? Maybe throw it away. Or we can keep it. And now it's gone. Looks really nice.
I think it's nice. We should tell the tribe about this, hey. What do you think?
Yes, yes, certainly.
Wow. Look at this.
It's even brighter together. Did you see?
Wow. Even brighter now.
Okay, so these two gentlemen, they really did an awesome job. So what are there's now a question. He and Penu discovered something right now, something amazing. So he came to me, I'm his pastor, there in the woods he talked about. You know, we're living now 10,000 years ago. And he came to me with this thing he discovered. So what are you going to do with that?
I'm going to tell the people, my friends and family about it. You know, it's something new. It's something that has to be known out there. Everybody has to know about it.
Thank you, Warren. Yes, as I know you, we're going to tell the whole world about what you just discovered. Something really amazing. And he's going to what has just been discovered, he said he's going to share with the whole world. It's not something, in our opinion, maybe that big, but living 10,000 years ago or whenever, I don't know, when was fire discovered again? I didn't Google it, okay. It wasn't there. Amen. But there's a part in Scripture what I want to read to you regarding something that has been discovered that's really wow. And I believe it's encouraging us, it's inspiring us. I want to read to you from John chapter 1, from verse 40 to 45. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael, that's a bold guy, and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." They discovered something amazing called the Messiah. These guys just discovered light, and they said they're going to tell everyone about it because it's something amazing. It's radiant, can burn your fingers. They will soon, in the next few days, they can cook food. Then their wives are going to tell them, their wives-to-be, are going to start to tell them to make more fire and make more wood, and it can keep them hot at night. Something amazing. Okay, now what is happening here in John? John spoke to his friend Andrew. Andrew spoke with his brother Simon. Jesus found Philip, and Philip connected with a friend of him, the Nathanael guy. Okay, so that's basically what's going to happen with them as well. They discovered something. It's really awesome. It's really wow. So they are going to go somewhere and tell someone else, light the fire, and the other person is going to be also like, wow, and go to another person and say, "You better go to that Wari and Penu guy. They are awesome. They discovered something. It's really useful. It's really valuing a lot." Okay? Now, what would you guys think? You eat raw food. Okay? You go cold to bed at night because you've never discovered fire. Okay, you didn't know it. They are the clever young guys. They are the innovators, the businessmen. They've discovered something, but they don't share it with you. One day when you go and visit them and you see, wow, they've got fire, you will ask them, so why haven't you never told us? Why have you never told us about it? Bottom line is, when you discover something of great value, you don't want to really keep it to yourself. You want to share it with your friends. You want to go and tell someone with what you have discovered. Now, these guys here in John chapter 1, they discovered a Jesus. Really amazing. Who of you have discovered Jesus? Most of us. Okay? We have discovered Jesus. So what's the best discovery in your own life? Light? It's cool. Maybe a few other things. Or Jesus? I would say it's quite a big thing to come to the Lord, be born again, to be saved, and to know that, to have that testimony about something happening in your own life. So they're going to share that thing. Yesterday afternoon, I Googled just a few things, and I didn't have that much time, so I had a look on one or two websites, and I just checked like 10 inventions that changed the world. Okay, now you know that fire is one of them, and in more recent times, I'll just read one of the number 10s. It starts with, from number 10 to number 1, it says the plow. Now the plow, who of you are excited about the plow being discovered? Meaning, okay, you don't have to plow. He's in the food business. I'm not sure always what business. And then the wheel, I guess that's amazing. The printing press, refrigeration. I mean, you can keep that tomato there for a few days now. It's really awesome. Communication, the steam engine, automobile, the light bulb, and wait for the last two, the computer and the internet. Now, I remember when I was about grade 8, you know, I didn't know there was something like the internet. I'm not that old, so it's fairly recent in a sense. Adams, when you were in grade 8, we were the same year, 1994, did you know about the internet? Don't drop me now. No, you didn't. Okay? That's amazing stuff that changed the world. Someone invented a light bulb, a plow, a steam engine, and for other people, it's like, wow, why didn't I think about it? Now, I'm not an engineer, so I don't know how the steam engine works exactly, but we can ask Michael afterwards. He will tell you exactly. He's into renewable energy and stuff like that. You're marrying the right men, by the way. So that's the way forward. But there's something about discovering something, getting something right. Those of us who has got small children, they will come to you sometime and, you know, they will tell you that they discovered something. You know, they can talk or walk, or they will show you they can put something in their mouth and swallow it, or stuff like that will really make you afraid. But, you know, stuff that's not that wow for us is really amazing for them. So I'm really glad that you guys are so in awe about Warrie and Penu's discovery this morning. It's really amazing. Now, a few years ago, you know, I came to like a few gadgets in life. Who of you like gadgets? It's nice, useful stuff sometimes. So I bought myself, it's called the Mac Light. It's that big torch that has got like a real strong, powerful light that's shining. It's also useful. I mean, you can use it for self-defense. It's quite a long, big, heavy torch. Okay, but it's got an amazing light. Now, that was probably 5 years ago, then I bought that one. And not long ago, I bought a torch that's probably this, probably the length is about this. It's about not very thick, it's very light. And the power of that little torch is a few times more powerful than that huge big mag light. It's impressive, okay? So I guess we all came to like this gadgets in our lives, this things that is really amazing. And if you in the December holiday opened newspapers, you will get all these free things inside about, I'm not going to mention the names of all the companies, but they want to sell you gadgets and useful things, fans. My wife convinced me during this holiday I must buy myself with my own money a present, which is called the fan, because it was really hot during the December holidays. Okay? And I did it. I'm a good husband. We all had wind. It was amazing. But imagine there was a gadget in this world that could turn a robber, a murderer, a thief, a rapist, whatever, into a good person. Well, that worry must be the jackpot of all gadgets, I guess. Don't you agree? That's better than light. That's better than not eating raw food, because you guys invented fire. Now, imagine there's this gadget that can give that person a clean slate, make that person new. Person who killed, who were really a bad guy. But I mean, do we know of something like that, or is that like, in a sense, pushing it? If you just listen to the songs or the words of Amazing Grace, the first few verses. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And that is talking about this gadget, in a sense, that makes things new, that does almost the impossible. It's almost a little bit unfair, you know. You can be a really bad person, kill, steal, destroy, whatever, and then there's something that can make you new, something that the song is talking about. It was also prophesied here in Ezekiel 36, verse 25 to 27. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. That sounds like an amazing gadget that can do something like that. Verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. As I said, in a sense, doesn't it sound amazing? Something that can make the prostitute a caring, loving mother, who can make the murderer man a father who plays with his kids, who can make someone completely new. And if you take a second on that amazing internet that we have right now, and you go and Google Christians' testimonies, you will see that happening all the time. We can see it even around us. Maybe most of us didn't, I guess, murder someone, okay? But God made us all new as well. God is big in this business of making people new. God will have to do a work in our hearts, I believe, because I think many of us is like, walking around with this box of matches in our heart, in our pockets. You know, we know there's fire. But we're very, I think a good word is blasé, who's the English teacher around, you know, about what we have. Something, we have it. Wari and Penny were really excited about that fire. They have it, they possess it. There's like 50 matches in that little box that they can go and light anywhere. And we have this amazing, I said with respect, gadget that can make bad people new. It's not about the bad people. It's about making people new, reconciling them to God. It's a beautiful scripture just to help us a little bit understand, because I think sometimes we forget a little bit. Luke 7, verse 39 to 43. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors, one owed $500 and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Sounds like Greece, Italy, or problems on their way. See, the guys didn't want to pay back their debt. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. Now, whether you or me, if there was, sometimes, if you, in our context, if you owed someone $1 million and the guy next to you, let's say me, I owe $1 million and my wife $2 million, and the king come of this country, our new president, and he says, well, it's fine, both of you, I will let you go. We write off the money you owe me. Then I will be very grateful not to owe $1 million anymore. I think my wife will even be more grateful, because obviously she abused the credit card more, so she's got a lot more debt, okay? So she will be a lot more happy, but bottom line is, both of us will be on cloud number 9 for not owing that much money anymore. for not owing that much money anymore, nah? For not owing that much money anymore. It's something I guess we need to say to ourselves. We not have to hang on that cross anymore because Jesus died in our place. That's something wow, I guess, eh? Isn't it? God has forgiven us a lot. Now, as I was reading yesterday and just spending a bit of time, these two guys with the exact same name that is really causing a lot of trouble in this world. Both of their names is Abu Bakr. The one is Shakal and the other one is al-Baghdadi. You know who those guys are. The one is the leader of ISIS. The other one is Boko Haram. They are really killing a lot of people. Abu Bakr Shakal, the leader of Boko Haram, he claimed to be waging a jihad against the Christianity in the, especially the northern parts of Nigeria. 2 or 3 weeks ago, the same time when, 12, 13 people were killed in France, estimates is that they killed about 2,000 people in a village in Nigeria. If you look at the Google photos on BBC, you will see that. They're really having a thing against us as Christians, slaughtering everyone who can't run away, especially the young, the old, the pregnant. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the guy there from ISIS, Amnesty International has held ISIL responsible for the ethnic cleansing of ethnic and religious minority groups in northern Iraq on a historic scale. In a special report released on the 2nd of September 2014, it described how ISIL has systematically targeted non-Arab and non-Sunni Muslim communities, killing or abducting hundreds, possibly thousands, and forcing more than 830,000 others to flee the areas it has captured since the 10th of June 2014. Among these people are the Assyrian Christians. Now, if you go and see, okay, this, it seems really, if you were to follow what these guys are doing, they are really sowing havoc. They are really the one of the biggest things on the agenda of the African Union when they met the past week was to discuss Boko Haram and what will we do to contain that, to contain those guys really killing innocent men and women. It sounds really harsh, eh? I mean, can God bring light into those guys' lives? Is it possible to change them, to turn it around? We've got an amazing testimony of a guy in Scripture who did exactly the same. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul approved of his execution, that's Stephen. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church. That means violently destructive effect or a cause of severe and extensive damage. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering the house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Acts chapter 9 verse 1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, which is Christians, men or women, he might bring them bound to the Jerusalem. If you bring someone in those days bound to the Jerusalem, you didn't put them in the back of a police van. It was a lot harsher. And it's amazing. I Googled it last night. There where Paul was living, it's about 500 kilometers from where ISIL is operating right now. Almost the same place in many ways. Almost doing the exact same thing. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us how many people Paul killed or anything like that. But we know he certainly approved of that, of the execution of Stephen. That was really speaking the truth. We read here in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 9, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." It's almost Paul like saying, sure, I can't be almost name myself an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. These guys right now persecuting the church of God in many ways as well. Southern part of Nigeria are mostly Christian. You know, we don't know. We don't have any idea what it is like to live in a community like that, to be in constant fear, to know villages has been slaughtered and stuff like that. But you see, someone discovered light. Jesus died on a cross, nah, that we guys can come to salvation. And God can, just as he saved the Apostle Paul, who was really ravaging the church, really harming the church, okay, God can bring these men, people in prisons, people in holes, people sitting behind computers, destroying other people's credit cards, lives, families right now. God wants to bring those people to salvation. And I think it's something for us to be just a little bit more excited about what I believe God can do. It's almost like walking with a box of matches in your pocket and you never use it. That's really stupid. And God called us to a work for us, the church. I want to read a paragraph to you just about why this almost this thing about Paul descending to such a low, persecuting the church, allowing Christians to be killed, to be bound. Why did God do it that way? His purpose was to allow Paul to become the chief of all sinners and then save him and make him the apostle who would write 13 books in the New Testament. Why? Why was doing this? Why choose him before birth to be an apostle? Then let him sink into a wicked and violent opposition to Christ and then save him dramatically and decisively on the Damascus Road. Because God wanted to encourage those who thought they were too sinful to have hope and also put the perfect patience of Christ on display. Okay? And that's just that place. I think there's many people who just think, in a sense, maybe they are too bad or not worthy for Christ to save them. But it's our job to take that box of matches to them and say, guess what? I've got something for you. You know, the whole process of regeneration, we just need to believe and say, yes, you can do nothing about it. It's completely a work of God. We can't make ourselves a new person, give ourselves a new heart or anything. That is God is doing that thing. It's something very powerful. It's something really a blessing. Now, just that example about those two Abu Bakr dudes, okay? They just haven't seen the light. I trust that there's a lot of people in Nigeria fearing them, especially the one operating there. But I believe this God is also raising up Christians there to pray for him. The solution is not to kill him with a gun. The solution is to pray for his heart. That gadget that can make someone new, that can change someone's life from a Saul to a Paul. Something really powerful. And guys, I just believe in my heart, if we can put out our faith, the thing here is not about a new venue. It's not about the new projector or stuff. Yes, there's a few things that's really challenging. And I believe we need to trust God for those things to come, to break through. But how excited are you and me about this box of matches in our pocket, this light that has been discovered? I'll go as far as to say we became very complacent about it. If we were to see life in a video before us, you know, we will see this thing about you have the light, but you hope someone else will use it, or something similar to that. We have the solution. And as Henning said this morning, yes, there's going to be a few fights. There's always going to be a few fights. But imagine God saves Abu Bakr Shekau in Nigeria and he becomes a Christian, a born-again, spiritual Christian, like God did with Saul, which became Paul. Imagine what it will do to the Nigerian nation. Imagine what it will do to me and you. But each of us has got a testimony, a place where God also, maybe you weren't and me weren't like the head of an armed, malicious group of men killing innocent people. But we were on our way to hell as well, okay? And God saved you and me. That amazing, the words of amazing grace. It's beautiful. Do you maybe believe we can grow with 20 people this year? If we can grow with 20, can we grow with 40? If we can grow with 50, and then we almost grew 100%. That's good in any business, I guess. Party. Amen? Okay? I believe that God wants us to do that. It's not about growing in stats and numbers. It's about seeing corals and Michaels and Abu Bakr came to salvation, that can stand here and say, God changed my life. I was the guy persecuting the church, spray painting on the walls, cursing this and that, and God made me new. Something really powerful. The guys at the back, if you can just bring the communion, it's our first Sunday of the month, we're going to have communion as well. If you can just hand out the bread and the wine, I will really appreciate it. But this morning, I want to really challenge us, because here's something important I believe in my heart that God is going to hold us accountable to. It's not how clean the floor is. It's not how pure the water is. It's not how good the music was this morning in many ways. But it's going to be about what are we doing with the box of matches in our hearts. It's not condemning in any way. Okay, there's no pressure on me or you or anyone. But we need to understand, we all know the wheel. We all know the steam engine. We all know the internet. It's amazing things we use daily. We take it for granted, but there was a time when it was really special. Most of us can think back to the time when you got your first cell phone. It was really cool. Now we all have it. I mean, I was 23. How old were you? 16. Lucky you. Okay? But that is something really important that I believe that's something God's going to hold us accountable for a truth that we know. So I just want to throw it out there, use it as a foundation for the rest of the year, and I want to bring it back to our hearts this week when we came together and we prayed. I didn't know I was going to preach this week, but if you look there, the name of the sermon was The Gift of Life. I felt it here about Thursday in my heart, and I didn't really do a lot with it. I just wrote it down and filed it. And Friday, 5 o'clock, when Reinhold phoned me, and he said, listen, my friend, I really, really can't preach on Sunday. Will you stand in for me? I know it was something to do with the gift of life. Thanks. Now, as I said, I want to just to bring it back shortly to not my praise on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but to our praise. We were praying corporately, the 20 of us, which is percentage-wise very well, very, very good, I believe. And just to listen to the life among us. Guess what, guys? We have already discovered light. We have it. The question is, just what are we going to do with it? Penu and Warrior went, and he's there going to tell the whole world, the whole world. And this morning, as we are going to use communion, you know, the Lord's Supper together, and we're going to use the bread and the wine. There's no pressure on any one of us. I want to say it again. But I pray with my heart for myself and for all of us that this fire, that we will really value what we have and that we will not keep it for ourselves. Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took a cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Heavenly Father, this morning we want to thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. That it wasn't just Jesus' blood that flowed on the cross, Lord God. But it was there for a purpose. It wasn't just normal blood, Lord. It was special blood. It was blood, Lord God, that saves us, Lord God. That makes us new. That brings a new covenant, Lord God, under which we are free, Lord God. Free to worship you, to be thankful, Lord God. That we can be bearers, Lord God. That we can be ambassadors, Lord God, of this new covenant, Lord God. That we can tell the whole world of Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, Lord God, who rose from the dead, Lord God, appeared to more than 500 witnesses, Lord God. A lot of people showed himself to the disciples, who's alive, Lord God, who's ruling and reigning, and with whom we will spend eternity. Father, I pray, as we're going to use communion right now, and as we're going to worship afterwards, Father, that the fire in our hearts will just be kindled again. that we will just look away for a moment from the second and the third and the fourth important things. The projector, the wall, the floor, whatever it might be. And just be in tune, Lord God, with that day of our own salvation. Lord, that every day this week we can thank you for that. And every day this week we will look around us where we can light that fire, Lord God. You will do the work, the regeneration. You will make new. It's only you can do it. But yes, Lord, that we can be the ambassadors of light here in Windhoek. You can use the bread and the wine right now.